It's a blessing to be able to stand before you again tonight that we can study another portion of God's Word. Appreciate all the participation and the assembly so far, singing praises unto God, and appreciate the prayers on my behalf. It's my prayer that something said here tonight will be useful and beneficial to you all as we continue our Christian walk. As you know, we are going to be continuing the Life of David series, and this is part number 6, which is the final part of the Life of David. So we will conclude the series tonight. Basically, we have already covered all of the life of David that we are going to study tonight, but we're going to go back and look a little bit more in depth into a few points. So over his life, so far we have learned quite a few things. Beginning in David's introduction into the Bible, he was a shepherd for his father's sheep, Jesse. As a young man, he defeated Goliath, of course, with God on his side. We learned about his musical talent and his songwriting ability. He spent years running from Saul, who was trying to defeat him. We learned about David's really good friend, Jonathan, and who was Saul's son. We also learned that he became king in Hebron, and then also king of all of Israel 7 years later. He always would seek counsel from God, except for a few mistakes. And those few mistakes that we talked about, we see his action to quickly turn back to God and knowing where he was wrong. We also saw David's full trust in God and strict obedience to God's will. And we also learned about a point that his seed would be established forever. A person from his lineage would be established forever. So a few facts to take away from what we have learned about David's life is, for one, he was born of the house of Jesse in approximately 1085 BC. So this was approximately 1,000 years before Jesus. He was the youngest and smallest of 7 brothers from the house of Jesse. He began to reign as king at the age of 30 in Hebron, and that's approximately at 1055 BC. He began to reign in all of Israel in 1048 BC, 7 years later. And he reigned for king for approximately 40 years. And then we see that David died at the age of 70 in approximately 1015 BC. So going through this study in the first 5 parts, I can say that it's pretty safe to say this 70 years of David's life, he accomplished quite a bit. We can learn quite a bit from the life of David over these 70 years, how we can treat one another, how we can serve God the way we need to, and how we can live our daily lives. Now, there's one point that we're going to go back and we're going to study a little bit more in depth. And this point comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7. In verse 12 and 13. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or you can read it on the board. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 12. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now this is when Nathan was talking to David, and he was telling David that a man from his seed would be established forever. And in Acts, Peter talks about this in the day of Pentecost. He talks about David. And while we were going through this study, it crossed my mind that we could be looking at the life of David a little bit more extreme than what we need to. It is true, we can learn a lot from the life of David and what we can do in accordance to live with our lives. But if we hold him up higher than any other man, then we're doing it wrong. Because there's only one man that we should be holding up higher than us, and of course that's Jesus. And Peter talks about this at the day of Pentecost because basically they were doing that. If we look over in Acts chapter 2, read verse 34, it says, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand." Peter is talking to these people here. And he's telling them that David's not ascended into the heavens. David did not defeat death. He's not your Savior. So as we were going through this study, it crossed my mind that we could be holding David up to a higher standard, or holding him, exalting him more than what we should be. So this is the point we're going to look at a little bit further. And we're going to look about, it says that a person from David's seed, his house would be established forever. So we're going to look at this and try to find out who exactly this person is that's talking about. And we can look over in Luke chapter 1, and let's read verse 31 through 32. Beginning in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, of course, this was God's plan that we read back in 1 Samuel, that some man from David's seed would be established forever. He would be our Savior. He'd be called great. But just because Jesus was from David's seed, does that make him our Savior? There was a lot of people that came before Jesus from David's seed that could have been our Savior. Could have been Solomon. Could have been any of his sons. Anybody between David and Jesus came from David's seed and could have fulfilled this role. So we're going to look at this in pretty in-depth tonight and make sure Jesus is the one that is our Savior. That he is this person that Nathan was prophesying about in 2 Samuel. He is this person that his seed would be established forever. So the first thing we need to look at is some other prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. First prophecy we're going to look at comes from Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So here's the first prophecy we're going to look at. Jesus would be born of a virgin, which has never happened before and will never happen again. And this prophecy that was in Isaiah is fulfilled over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. This is when Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. But now that's just two prophecies that we have. He came from the seed of David, and he was born of a virgin. So let's look at the next one. Let's go to Psalms chapter 78 and verse 2. It says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." So this is prophesying about the Savior. When he comes, when he teaches on earth, that he will talk in parables. And a lot of people would not be able to understand him. And this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 13. "Therefore speak out to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." This is Jesus speaking here, and he's saying, "I speak in parables." And he's not bragging about himself. He's not saying that I'm doing this so I can be the Savior. He's doing this because he is the Savior. And that's what he is required to do. So now we have three prophecies fulfilled. The next one we have comes from back in the book of Isaiah and in chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 and in verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." This is talking about the Savior here. He's going to heal the blind and the deaf. The blind will now be able to see, and the deaf will now be able to hear. This is fulfilled in a couple places. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 9 and read verse 27 through 30. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." So here's exactly what Jesus did. He fulfilled another prophecy. He healed the blind. We also have this again in Mark chapter 7 and in verse 37. "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." So here Jesus has fulfilled his other prophecy that we got from the book of Isaiah. So we see this trend here that Jesus is fulfilling these prophecies. But let's go ahead and look at a few more just to drive a nail in. Let's look at Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22 and verse 16. "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Okay, so the Savior would have his hands and his feet pierced. And of course we know this is fulfilled, and this comes from John chapter 20 and in verse 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So this is one of the disciples here saying, if I don't see the nail marks that were in Jesus' hands, and I'm not going to believe that he is risen from the dead. And of course, we know that Jesus' hands and feet were pierced when he was hung on the cross. The last prophecy we're going to look at tonight comes from John chapter 2 and in verse 19. And this is Jesus prophesying about himself. John chapter 2 and in verse 19 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This prophecy is, of course, prophesying about Jesus and how he would be raised from the dead 3 days after he was destroyed or killed, crucified on the cross. And this one is fulfilled over in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 6. It says, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." This is after Jesus was risen on the third day after he was crucified, fulfilling that self-prophecy that he gave. So the prophecies that we have, and this is just a few of the prophecies. There's a very long list of all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, but I'm pretty sure this is enough to suffice that Jesus is in true fact the Son of God and this one seed that would be established forever. He was born of a virgin. He did speak in parables. He did heal the blind and the deaf. His hands and feet were nailed to the cross. And he was raised on the third day after being crucified. So I think it's pretty safe to say that after looking at these few things, Jesus, not any other man, and David's seed, not David himself or anybody else, is the true Messiah that Nathan was prophesying about, as well as all the other prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus is this true man. So now that we know Jesus is in fact the true Messiah, wouldn't it be logical to find out what he teaches? Let's go ahead and look at what Jesus taught while he was on earth. We're just going to look at a few of the things that he taught. We've already heard the word. We've already heard that Jesus is the true Messiah. We saw that he fulfilled the prophecies. And we saw that he did come from David's seed, which we have learned about earlier. So the first thing we're going to look at comes from John chapter 3 and in verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And all these next few verses we're going to read, all is Jesus talking. Jesus is saying here, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you don't believe that he is our Savior, then you're condemned already. Next thing we're going to look at comes from Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, this is Jesus talking again. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Here Jesus is talking about repenting. And of course this means repenting of our sins, turning from our old ways, turning from the ways of the world, and turning unto him. Because we've already heard that he's our Savior. We believe that he is our Savior. And if we don't believe, then we're condemned already. And now we know that we must repent of our sins and completely turn to him. Okay, let's go one step further. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. And we'll read verse 32 and 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus is teaching us here that if we don't confess him, if we don't confess that we know him, confess to be a Christian, a follower of him, if we don't confess this to other men, he will not confess us before his Father, which is also our Father God. If we deny him, which is the same as not confessing him, if we say that we don't know God or even live like we don't know God or Jesus, he's also going to deny us. So we've heard he's the Savior. We believe in his name. We have repented of our sins, and we will confess that he is our Savior towards other men. One other thing that Jesus taught us to do comes from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. And in verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So these four scriptures that we've looked at are all in the words of Jesus. This is all Jesus taught when he was on this earth. And he taught many other things, but these, in my opinion, are the most important that we've looked at tonight. He taught here that if you believe, which we've heard about earlier in John, and are baptized, then you shall be saved. But if you're not, then you're going to be damned. So we have a decision that we must make. After looking at these few things that Christ taught, we have a decision. Are we going to do this and decide to go with Christ? Are we going to believe this word that we have heard? Are we going to believe that he did fulfill all the prophecies that were in the Old Testament and repent of our sins to follow him, completely turn from that old man? Are we going to confess him before other men? And are we going to be baptized into his name so that we can be saved? Are we going to do that? Are we going to decide not to? Are we going to deny him and deny him towards other men? Jesus also taught us about this. If we look over in Matthew chapter 25, read verse 41 and 46. I guess I forgot to put that one on here. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Then go down to verse 36. And these shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So this is what's going to happen, as Jesus taught us here. If we choose to follow him, he's going to tell us we can go in on the right side. We're with the righteous. We can go into a life eternal. If we choose not to follow him, then he's going to say, Depart from me. I never knew you. Even if we act like we know him and we confess, we do everything that we can in order to serve him the best we can. If we don't do what he teaches, if we don't believe in him and repent of our sins and confess his name, and we are not baptized into his name, he will tell us to depart to the left hand because he doesn't know us. We have to do everything that he has taught us. So we have this decision to make. Do you want to be called to the right side and to a life eternal? Or do you want to be called to the left side and to an everlasting fire and destruction? Which one is it going to be? So over the life of David, we have looked at quite a few things. And we can learn about a lot from David. And I think this was a very good study to go through. But as I was going through this, like I said, I think that we need to always keep in mind that David is a man just like me and you. He cannot defeat death just like me and you. But coming from his seed was one man that could, and this man was Jesus Christ. So more importantly, the things we need to be studying are the things of our Savior. We can learn a lot about the life of David, a lot about how to live our daily lives, how to treat one another, how to serve God, and everything like that. But when it comes down to salvation, when it comes down to what we truly need and what we need to be focusing on, we need to remember about the life of Jesus Christ, not only about the life of David. So if there are any of here who have not done these things that Jesus Christ has taught us, if you have not fully believed in him as the Son of God, if you have not repented of your sins and completely turned from your old ways, and if you have not confessed Jesus Christ to other men and confessed that he is your Savior in your life, and finally, if you have not been baptized into Christ, then we can help you with this. If you have not done these things, then he will tell you on the day of judgment to depart to the left side into the everlasting fire and destruction. But if you are ready to do these things, then we can assist you tonight. We can help you with this so that when you do get to the day of judgment, Jesus will say, Depart to the right side. Come with me. Come live in your mansion with me forever and serve God. If you're ready to do this, we can help you. Or if there are anything anything else that you may need from the church that we can pray for you, and maybe you're slipping in a few of the aspects we've learned about over the life of David or tonight about the life of Jesus, if there are anything that we can help you with, we ask you to come forward as well. If there'll be one of either class, we ask you to come forward. Have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing this song.